Hello, listeners, and welcome to Faith in Action. So glad that you set your dials to Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. It's a great day here. I have some exciting guests in the studio. Oh, and I am Joanne Fox. I am a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member. I am the host for today's show. And again, I am just delighted that you took time to listen to us, because we have some interesting information to share, like we always do. And I want to welcome to the studio my guests, Dawn Grimes and Martha Burchard. They are both associated with Mary's Choice, which is, I would say, a pregnancy-related business organization in Sioux City.
We're a pregnancy and family resource center.
Pregnancy and Family Resource Center. Excellent. And we're going to talk a lot about Mary's Choice, but one of the reasons, other than I love to talk about all the wonderful things the organization does, is you have an event coming up. And this is a public service program, a public affairs program, so we always try and promote the wonderful things that are going on with the organization. So very much would like you to mark your calendars, and I'll give this information several times during the program. Friday, October 22nd at Cathedral of the Epiphany in Sioux City. It is an evening event, so it goes from 5:30 to 8 p.m., and it is a fundraiser for Mary's Choice, so they can continue to do all the wonderful things they do to help men, women, families to make sure that they can sustain their family life. So, Dawn, why don't I start with you? Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell them a little bit about yourself.
All right. I'm Dawn Grimes. I am the executive director. Executive director. That is so hard to say.
It is.
At Mary's Choice, I've been in charge since 2019 and took over for Cheryl Glassmaker back then. And prior to that, I've been with Mary's Choice for almost 10 years. In January, it'll be in January, I started out there. I offered to help with the website.
Well, there you go.
And
that's always, isn't it?
Then it went downhill from there.
Yeah.
I ended up taking over the website, and then ended up being on the board, and then we got our digital sign outside, and I was in charge of doing that because I was the computer person and did all the stuff with the computers, and then I eventually took over, and now I get to boss people around. And
it's a great feeling, isn't it?
It is so exciting. I get to be the bossy instead of the bossy.
And I remember, Dawn, running into you all the time when our studio was in the Benson building, and you kept wandering into the Benson building, and we'd see each other.
Well, I was up on the fifth floor. I worked for a Thomas Law Firm for about 7 years. I moved here to Sioux City in 2007 for a job, because I lived out over by Emmitsburg, and I worked at the casino there, and I had just graduated a few years before there. And I wanted a legal job. And unfortunately, out in the middle of nowhere, there's not very many lawyers. So you come to Sioux City, there's a lot of lawyers. A lot of lawyers. So I finally got in with the law firm, but I grew up actually in Marcus.
Okay.
And then moved around a few different towns. I've lived in Carroll, Storm Lake, Grettinger, Spencer, Emmitsburg, Curlew, and Sioux City.
It's very much
and Cherokee.
They're very much the gypsy lifestyle, almost. But we're glad you are now here in Sioux City.
Yeah, I finally just came to Sioux City and I just stayed here.
Much easier than moving around.
When you're young and you don't have much, you can move a lot.
That's the truth.
And then you gain stuff and you're just like, oh, this is too much work.
Never moving again.
Exactly.
I'm staying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If I never have to move again, it'll be too soon.
There you go. Martha, you, though, have been around here for some time. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Audubon, Iowa, on the farm there, and came to Sioux City, actually, to follow in my older sister's footsteps. She was a nurse at St. Vincent's Hospital, and I thought, well, I don't know what else to do when I graduate. I might as well be a nurse. And so I did. I went through St. Vincent's and was hired on at St. Vincent's Hospital. And then there were several mergers. And so I stayed there, worked in the emergency department, and I thought, well, I'm not going to like this at all, and because I wanted to be in mental health. And so I stayed in the emergency department and those ambulatory services all my nursing career, which ended up being 42 years at Mercy Medical Center in Sioux City, now called Mercy One. And it was a fabulous, wonderful place to work. And I had a really wonderful career as a nurse.
Excellent. Yeah. And, of course, I've interviewed you or talked to you about the whole Mercy Child Advocacy Center,
yes.
which you
mm-hmm.
were very instrumental in making sure that happened.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Something like that takes many people, mm-hmm. you know, that give of themselves. And it's just a wonderful place to be for children and families to go when they need that kind of support and, you know, from abuse situations and so forth. And it's really well done. Amy Scarman is the director of it now, and she just does a fabulous job.
Yeah, and you hit the nail right on the head. Very, very much needed in
yes.
this area. And, you know, sometimes we forget that that kind of need is necessary.
Yes.
And kind of like Mary's Choice is another need that's very necessary in this area because there are women who are struggling with perhaps an unplanned pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so can we talk a little bit about how Mary's Choice came into being? Dawn, do you want to address that a little bit?
Sure. I know some of it. I didn't start until about a year after or so. But there was a group of people that used to go out and pray in front of Planned Parenthood. And mm-hmm. there was an accountant that was in that our building where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who talked to him, but convinced him to move so that we can have that building right next to Planned Parenthood and set up a pregnancy resource center. Mm-hmm. And I think how it actually happened is they bought him another building and moved him to that location so we could have the building, remodeled the building, and we opened our doors in August of 2011 for families to come in, and we started with we had a donated ultrasound machine that we started doing some. Peggy McGinty, who was on our board, who just passed away recently. Mm-hmm. She was doing the ultrasounds, and Cheryl was helping, and Marge Stanick was there, and Bob Glassmaker. Those were pretty much the first group of board members. There were a couple others, and I can't remember their names because they were gone by the time I joined the board. Mm-hmm. And they got it all started, and we were in the front half of the building for a while. KFHC was in our part of our building, broadcasting on days of abortion days. That's now storage, by the way. You're not getting it back.
Nope, we're not. I know that. Well, what's interesting, and again, I know where you're located, but what is the exact street address?
It's 4415 Stone Avenue. We're next to, everyone knows where Jim's Bar is.
Everybody knows where
everyone.
Jim's Bar.
We can tell them that Rolorama is right across the street. They have, like, what? We can tell them that, you know, the Casey's is just down the block. Where? Jim's Bar. Oh, I know where that is.
Well, yeah, and Western Iowa Tech Community College is at the
yes.
top of the hill,
yeah,
which,
yes.
again, we used to refer to Jim's Bar as Building E.
Oh,
you know, because
yes.
so the students would all be going to Building E at the end of the day on Fridays. And so it's a longstanding joke. But what was interesting was that you mentioned for years, devoted volunteers would pray in front of Planned Parenthood in hopes that Planned Parenthood would close.
Yes.
And prayers were answered because eventually it was closed.
Yes, it did.
Yes. Yes.
And then last July, they reopened one day a week on Wednesdays. And now we have people back out praying and helping direct women to our facility so that we can help them.
Absolutely. And there was a lot of prayer, especially during 40 Days for Life.
Yes.
That's when it really ratcheted up quite a bit. And I, of course, took pictures and covered and interviewed sure. it because, again, listeners know that most of my career was in the field of journalism. And I was always moved by this kind of quiet devotion, and they weren't intrusive of individuals. Although I know if I had volunteers in here that did those prayers, that they did make a difference, and they did convince young women that perhaps there might have been another choice. And that was the power of having Mary's Choice right next door.
Yes. And we also have Eucharistic Adoration now on Wednesdays. That got started up this year. Mary Stevens is in charge of that because I don't have time.
It's because you're doing director stuff.
So she organizes it, and it's been great. Yes. Deacon Brockhaus comes and brings the Eucharist in the mornings. And then he comes back after three or around three and takes him away. And we have a whole steady stream of people coming in for Eucharistic Adoration. And then we have people outside talking to women. And when is it? 40 Days for Life starts up again September 22nd, I believe.
Yes, it does.
And we are planning on we got partnered with Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And we're doing training, sidewalk advocacy training, the 17th from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock at Mary's Choice for anyone that wants to learn how to do it and come out and pray, because we can always use more people out there.
Always. That's the truth. Well, listeners, right now it's time to take a short break so we can give a shout out to our sponsors, our underwriters, and do some public service announcements. But we're so glad you set your dials to Channel 88.1 FM. So stay tuned, because we're going to be right back.